Okay. Harper out again.
That's right.
Let's see.
It's okay. Lame.
Yeah. We prefer to have him here, but you can't enforce an enforcer, you know?
Nope. That is true.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
Got my sweet jerk ass with some shoes on.
That train is off the tracks.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash and unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is January 29th, 2017, and this is episode 221. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. And Happy New Year! It's Chinese New Year, Year of the Rooster, just 2 days ago.
Cock-a-doodle-doo!
Yes. This show, we're discussing games against the New York Knickerbockers, the Timberwolves, Kings, and the Rockets. And before we get into that, you can get in touch with us these places on the internet. We are at Undebeatables on Twitter. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. So contact form there. You can send us all a message and you can give us an email. Shout out at TheUndebeatables.com. And one of the reasons you should at least follow us on Facebook is we give away tickets sometimes, like we did to the Houston game. Listener Mike Jenkins won the random draw, and he got to go to the game on us. So
shout out, Mike.
Micah.
Oh, Micah.
Right. Micah.
Shout out to Mike, too, though.
Yeah. So, give us a follow, and, sometimes we'll give away some stuff. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Yeah, shout out from the nation's capital. I don't know what's going on here, but it's just a crazy ride. we'll get through it, guys.
Whee! From Indianapolis, Indiana. He's our in-house bartender mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? What a week. Micah Jenkins was treated to a hell of a game. I would also real briefly like to shout out to Shannon and Bob, who run the Indie Claw Rabbit Rescue. Could not be nicer people. Just invited us into their home, treated us like family. Kyle and I are looking at rabbits. In fact, we have adopted a rabbit, which I'll be picking up on Tuesday. So shout out to Giant Rabbits. And also to Preston the Alpaca, who I met today. We recently learned about alpacas, so it was nice to meet one face-to-face.
Was this some field research you were doing?
That's right. So apparently alpacas are very social animals, and he's bonded with a pony instead of another alpaca.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And shout out to my sister real quick, who verified or corrected us, I guess, on a Googleable relating to alpacas and llamas, and informing us that indeed they are both native to Peru and not Chile, as I believe I tried to
assert.
Inform you of. Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, the all-star rosters have all been announced. Of course, every year there's a discussion who got snubbed. JT, who got it the worst this year?
Damian Lillard, son. Always. Every year the answer is Damian Lillard.
Nobody's had the numbers he's had and never not made an All-Star game. Is that right? It's like he's like 26-5-6 or something like that, and it's never nobody's ever done that and not been gone to an All-Star game.
I did hear that. Yeah. Yeah, and nobody. Yeah, you're right. Like nobody's missed and had those statistics.
Right.
So that's he's pushing boundaries. It's impressive.
I think the real snub here is Chris Paul. I mean, I know he's injured, but how does he not get voted in and then have an injury replacement? All these coaches going, ah, he's injured. I don't have to vote for him. That's a cop out. CP3 is one of the top four guards in the West. He needed to be voted in. So I'm bummed about that. Also, Mike Conley. How did this guy get? Come on. I mean, DeAndre Jordan. Really? Mike Conley's better than him. So, I was unimpressed with the West. I thought they did fine in the East, but, man.
Do you have it in front of you, Joey? Can you give us a quick rundown of who the reserves were in the...
Of course, yes. I do have the list here. The reserves for the Eastern Conference. Isaiah Thomas, John Wall, Kyle Lowry, Kemba Walker, Paul George, Kevin Love, and Paul Millsap.
Making right. The cuts. And I think, you know, you guys called me out last week for my Carmelo pick. I don't think it's that indefensible. He's got more points than Millsap and more points than Porzingis as well. But I've come around to the logic that Millsap is on a winning team and Carmelo's not. So I went ahead and give the nod to Millsap. But I don't think it was as outrageous a pick as you guys made it sound. I think the coaches did well in the East.
Yeah, I don't have an argument with that.
Yeah.
In the West, the reserves, up and comer Russell Westbrook, Klay Thompson, Gordon Hayward, Draymond Green, DeMarcus Cousins, Marc Gasol, and DeAndre Jordan. So that's probably Joel Embiid did not make it. Damian Lillard, of course. The big cat didn't go, and I'm a little bummed about that.
I had the big cat over DeAndre Jordan and Conley over Gordon Hayward, probably. I also wanted CP3 to be voted in and then replaced by any of the guys, probably Klay Thompson. Because I know that Golden State's amazing, but they've got four representatives, Conley and CP3. Definitely deserving. And Damian Lillard.
Mm-hmm. They should have had five, but Zaza was a target of some rule changes. So,
That's true. Good call, Joey. Yeah, this is, you know, the coaches vote for the reserves, and they definitely respect winning. So
yeah.
They're always going to give the nod to the teams that are on pace for 70 wins.
Sure. And you know what? I think DeAndre probably was did get some votes because CP3 was injured. You know, like, oh, well, we need to give the Clippers somebody, and we're not going to vote for Chris Paul. So let's throw it to DeAndre. And Blake Griffin's hurt as well, so he might have benefited from that. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but...
That's what it sounds like to me.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, whenever you want. That's the sound of the not all that fast break.
Well, gentlemen, we got four games to talk about this week. First one, Knicks take on the Pacers in the friendly confines of the Fieldhouse, but they lose 109-103. This is Monday, January 23rd. Pacer Nation not happy after this one, JT. How'd this one shake out?
This was a pitiful effort. It was strange. The Pacers got out to a good start. Go up 12 in the first quarter. And then get outscored 64-43 over the next two quarters. Giving up 40 in the second quarter. You're not going to win a lot of ballgames when you give up 40 in a quarter. This is, you know, the Pacers used to regularly give up 40 and a half. That was like our thing. But did an admirable job of climbing their way back into the game towards the end. Had a chance to win this game down the stretch. I believe they had it tied even at one point. But your man, Coulson, Carmelo Anthony scoring the last 6 points.
Yeah.
And backing down PG, getting a little turnaround J.
Tough shot.
Big shots. And, yeah, really won that game going away. So, disappointing loss for the Pacers here. They waste a 31-point effort from Paul George. Miles Turner turns in a double-double, 22 and 10, and can't get a win. Kind of crappy defense, I think.
Yeah, no, this is disappointing, and it's largely about the D. You can't give up 40 points in a quarter and expect to win games. I thought we started playing defense in the fourth. That's what got ourselves back into this game. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we were down two with a few seconds to go, plenty of time, ran a play, got it to Miles Turner, who fumbled it off his leg out of bounds. You know, and I appreciate that we're trying to get the confidence to the young kid, put him in those situations, because moving forward in our franchise, he's going to have to be a guy that hits big shots. So, you know, we took a gamble and it did not pay off. My only silver lining from this, because this is we should not be losing to the Knicks. The Knicks are not good, and we were at home. But my silver lining is that I think that fourth quarter was pretty good. You know, we played some defense. We scored effectively. We got back into a game that we were out of, and that's something that's on wax. You know, that coaches can point to. I think we could gain some confidence from that, and I think the rest of the week shows that maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, I did appreciate getting the ball into Miles Turner. You know, he's a young guy, but you know, I think he's going to be in position here soon. You know, I think he's not afraid to take that last shot. You know, I think he got excited and just mishandled the ball. You know, it's like, I'm not mad at him for you know, misplaying a single possession, even though it was clutch. They made enough mistakes before that this was not the difference maker.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For sure, for sure. We're going to talk about it more on Thursday's show, but the fans let the Pacers know their feelings. Raining down some boos based on the lack of effort, which is we talk about it all the time. If you're going to play basketball in Indiana, fans, you know, respond to that effort. If you dive on the floor and you Jeff Foster it up every night, they're going to love you.
Right.
And if you slack and don't get back on defense and don't go after rebounds, they're not going to like you.
Yeah, Hoosier fans will cheer more for a hustle play than a dunk. Sometimes it's they care about the small stuff and the effort for sure.
I like the hustle dunks though. That's my favorite.
That gets the biggest cheer for sure.
Yep. I always, you know, Melo had a great game too. You know, don't want to take anything away from them. They worked hard. I thought Porzingis was really held in check. You know, just 8 points that game.
Well, he's held in check by his own team. The Knicks have to trade Anthony or Rose. Both of them, yeah, or something. Because down the stretch, I mean, it ended up working out well because for the Knicks in this game, because Anthony made the shots and won them the game. But Porzingis doesn't even touch the ball half the possessions in the fourth quarter, which seems like a big waste.
Well, there has been a fair amount of rumors about trading Melo, but of course nothing has come through yet, so there's discussing.
I think it probably will happen. I don't think you go this far down the rabbit hole of trading without getting it done at this point.
You've been hanging out with rabbits too much.
Every year.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Jason. This is,
no, but he's got a no-trade clause, and I don't think that Phil Jackson would be talking to these teams this in-depth if he didn't have the go-ahead light from Anthony.
Hmm. Well, yeah, we'll see. I mean, Anthony said that he'd be down to get traded to a contender, right?
But right.
Whether you can make a deal with a contender is
sure
not clear, right?
Sure. I mean, there are lots of people that will give you a bunch of flotsam for for Carmelo Anthony. I'm willing to do that too. If you're interested in Joe Young for Carmelo Anthony, I'm in.
So check the trade machine and get back to me on that. Thursday, January 26th, Pacers travel to Minnesota, take on the Timberwolves. I don't know if it was the booing, but Pacers were motivated, won this one 109-103. I thought the big cat was doing his best not to let that happen. But the Pacers were victorious in the end. Coulson, What did you think about Carl Anthony Towns there at the end of the game?
Yeah, just insane. What a joy to watch this guy. You know, he's 7 feet running off screens like a little guard. He hits 4 straight 3-pointers down the stretch to keep them in this game. This was a highly entertaining game. I just really enjoyed watching this one. A lot of, you know, the NBA is a game of runs, and this was like a bunch of game of small runs. You know, like one team would get up 10 points and then it would get tied, and the other team would go up 7 points and then it would get tied again. Really a fun game to watch. I thought basically this was Minnesota's big three versus our big three. Big Cat, Wiggins, and Zach LaVine, they score. Zach LaVine scores 23, Andrew Wiggins scores 21, and Carl Anthony Towns scores 33 and 10 rebounds. But our big three, Paul George with 32 points, Miles Turner with 23, and Jeff Teague with 20. All pretty similar. It was a close game. And then CJ Miles hit a dagger three, and we came out with this one. I could watch these guys, these teams play together all the time. This was really fun. And we also won. So.
That's the most important thing. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to see this game. I saw, I think, maybe the last 5 minutes, but I was falling asleep. So it didn't burn in my memory well. But you look at the box score, and this is one of the few games this year that we outboarded a team.
Mm-hmm.
Outboarded them by 10 in this game. Was that just an effort thing, or
was it
defense forcing shots and bad
no,
shots?
No, I really felt like it was energy and effort. Like, I just, this was a well-played game, you know, and you know, it's Minnesota, and they're not exactly lighting the league on fire this year, but they got mm-hmm. a lot of young talent, and, you know, we're in their house, and I just thought we played well. We played hard. We played together. Nate McMillan made a lineup change at the beginning of this week where he put C.J. Miles into the starting lineup at the small forward position, which moves Paul George to 2 and brings Glenn Robinson off the bench. And you know, PG has been scoring over 30 points all this week, and I think you know he's really suited there at that position to take advantage of, you know, his mismatches.
I thought good performances from Jeff Teague. He almost got a triple double. Ended up with 28 and 13 assists. And you still got Ricky Rubio on the other side, who just really can't score. But he's still gonna give you 12 assists.
Yeah, but he couldn't guard Teague at all. I mean, he was just getting abused. Teague was having fun with it.
He can't, as you like to say, Colson, he can't guard his way out of a wet paper bag.
No, he can't. So Teague did what he wanted to, had fun with it. So, but yeah, these kids are good. On the Minnesota team, they're gonna be good for a long time.
Dude, Towns is ridiculous.
He's ridiculous.
I mean, you guys talked about it at the beginning, but he's just. He does things that, I mean, Miles Turner does this sometimes too, but Carl Anthony Towns, I think, even more so, where you're just like, what the what? Like, how is that even physically possible?
Yeah.
He's just like draining threes and.
Like and step back.
Like doing spin moves in the lane. And yeah, he's incredible.
This is quickly becoming my favorite sub plot of the season, is just watching Al Jefferson take young centers to school. Like, I'm just enjoying that so much. Like, he kind of does what he wants. And this game, he only had 8 points, but I think he had one possession definitely on Carl Anthony Towns, maybe one or two, where he had no idea what was happening, you know? And nobody could stop him. He was just going up and under, and it's going in. And you know, Carl Anthony Towns had never seen that move before. It's pretty fun.
I think... It almost, to me, some of the guys trying to defend Jefferson almost seems like a old-time cartoon. They're just completely surprised when he gets by him, and they have no idea what happened. But he's eating it up. He's been playing great. You know, he's a monster off the bench. Another thing off the bench, Lavoy Allen's been getting some burn, and he's been playing pretty well too. This game, not too great. 17 minutes, 2 points, 5 boards. But yeah, this guy's a rebounding machine, and he's one of those ones that's what he does best, and that's the thing. I think one of the things the Pacers are worst at is getting those boards.
mm-hmm. to say the least, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So Serafin has been out with a bum knee, and he's been our hustle guy off that bench. But Lavoie can definitely step in and played well this week. You're right.
It was game 2 of 4 for the week. Friday, January 27th. Kings coming to town, taking on the Pacers. Just eke this one out, 115-111 in overtime. Jason, how was Boogie Cousins kept in check?
It was my man Lavoie, the chef ORD, Lavoie Allen. He's the Boogie Cousins killer. This game was crazy, actually. I thought the Pacers played pretty well throughout this game, and the Kings were kind of like in it and had the lead because they were making threes at an unbelievable clip. They ended up shooting 50% from three-point range in this game. They made 13 of them. Usually they make like 8 a game or something like that, 8 or 9. But this was the poor Kings. They have leads and they just squander them away. You know, like a week ago, the Pacers played them in Sacramento and came back from 22 down to come back and beat them. And this game, it was almost as if the Pacers knew that they could do that again. Like, they were down by, 10 at halftime, 9 or 10 at halftime, and then just crawled their way back.
Yeah, we were down 11 with 6 minutes to go.
yeah.
And still pulled this thing out. I mean, we had to go to overtime, but, yeah, you're right. They just
But didn't
Kings.
You get the sense that they were just like, wait, they were like, okay, guys, we'll get them. We'll just reel them back in at some right. point. Like, no problem. And then did just enough to get it to overtime. And then in overtime, I thought really handled them. Boogie Cousins giving some excellent, just mean mug looks the whole game. He's angry all the time. And Paul George going for 33 in this game. Another 30-point game from him. Jeff Teague close to a triple-double. 17-8-8. Yeah, good game. Good win, I guess. Not quite a good game, I guess, all around. But good win, for sure. We got murdered on the glass in this game. 43-29. But
yeah, and you'd like to put Sacramento away at home. You know, we're at our house. It's frustrating to go over to overtime. But, like I said, we were down 11 with 6 minutes to go and overtime. From that point with 6 minutes to go, we had 0 turnovers for the rest of the game. So we executed down the stretch. We did what we had to. There's no moral victories or, bad wins in this game. It will take a win. So,
and Paul George 16 of 17 from the line, very impressive attacking, mm-hmm. Just attacking really, and he's a great free throw shooter. So
he's now leading the league.
And was it in percentage?
yeah. Your stat a couple weeks ago was he was number 2. He's now number 1.
Very nice.
You spurred him on, Joey. Good job. Yeah. Yeah, well, we had a real problem defensively with their point guards in this game, which is a little bit concerning because their point guards are Darren Collison and Ty Lawson. It's not exactly the Westbrook and Hardens of the world.
Hey, they're both motivated as ex-Pacers to beat us.
Darren Collison, 26 points in this game. Ty Lawson, 16 and 6 assists in limited minutes. And got a lot of those open three-point... they shot 50% from three-point range. A lot of it was because they were wide open looks. So, by the second half, tightened up that defense and got the win.
Well, we may have learned something from this game, which is Paul George might need to guard the opposing team's point guard, which he does in mm-hmm. the next game.
We sure did. And this was just earlier this evening, Sunday, January 29th. Pacers beat the Boston Rockets 120-101. Micah Jenkins got to witness this. Colson, that was the thing that I was a little surprised with coming out of the gate, Harden being guarded by Paul George. And, Harden's putting up some he's been our recipient of the stat of the week for putting up stat lines like, 50, 10, and 10. He's done it twice this year, a 50-point triple-double. And I think Jeff Teague may not be up to the task. But Paul George is, as a shooting guard and a phenomenal defensive player, is up to that. And, I think he knows him, from playing with him on the Olympic team, knows his moves. And I think he actually, spent a fair amount of time with him back in those days and knows his moves. Got inside his shirt. Harden had not a great game.
This is fantastic. I think it's well documented my how little I like this iteration of the Houston Rockets. Hakeem Olajuwon will always be in my heart, but these guys, man, I'm not a big Beard fan, and he didn't play well this game, and that is largely due to Paul George. So Harden ends up with what?
Like 13 points, maybe?
15.
And 8 assists, 5 rebounds. And Paul George goes ahead and drops another 30-point effort. This game, we just came out the gate on fire. Like, we could not miss a shot. I think we hit like 67% in the first quarter. And then played defense. I thought, we got to a big lead. They crawled back into it, sort of, in the second. And we just started playing defense. And I think this is a great team effort. I think this is great. Our guys are just playing well right now offensively. And when we start playing defense, we can be tough to beat.
I thought they did a great job, not just only with Paul George at the point of attack, but then also sprinting out to all their three-point shooters. I mean, this is a team that just shoots so many through. They shot 39
they're going to break
the
record
this game.
For the one season.
Luckily for us, they were missing them. I think at one point they were like 4 for 23 or something like that.
Harden started 0 for 7.
Yeah. And part of that is due to them, having an off night. Part of that is due to the Pacers making them take difficult contested threes, right? And that's kind of all you can do is make them take a hard shot and close out in the right places. And I thought that the defense was locked in and on a string for much of this game, which was great to see. A few weeks ago, Thaddeus Young murdered. Who was it that he murdered with the dunk? I forget. Somebody on the Nets, I think. But Paul George, there's going to be an APB out for Paul George for the murder of Clint Capella with this dunk. That was his best dunk since the Birdman dunk, I guess.
What about the – was that – did he do the Birdman dunk since the 360? Yeah, he did.
No,
the 360 was newer, I think.
The 360 was newer, but, like, on a – as far as dunks a guy.
Oh, yeah,
like,
on a guy. Oh, like, yeah. No, he murdered this dude. Yeah. Capella goes up two hands and just – it totally forced out of the way. Oh, my goodness. I thought Quinn Buckner was going to have
Capella is a large individual. He's, like, 7 foot 250 or something like that. And Paul George just dunked on his dome.
He's not. That's not his size anymore.
And then came down the next possession and drilled a three to force a Houston timeout when they had just started kind of crawling back into it a little bit in the third quarter there. And tremendous effort. Houston is a really good team, despite what Colson will try to tell
you. They're the third best team record wise in the West. I mean, this is a really good win against a really quality team. Win. This is one of the best wins of the year, for sure.
Also, Jeff Teague dropping 15 dimes this game. You guys, we have a real point guard who's playing well on this team. It's been so long since we've been like that.
He's having a fantastic January, averaging about 10 dimes a game in January.
Yeah, and it's definitely helped the Pacers now are 9-4 in January. 5 games over 500, and lots due to Jeff Teague's play in this newfangled starting lineup.
Yeah, no, we talked about the starting lineup in this game. CJ Miles, 0 points, but I thought, what he does is, he runs off those screens. He does stuff that keeps the defense having to stay on their toes, and it also gave this change, I think, has given Glenn Robinson III some confidence. He was outstanding in this game, coming off the bench, had 14 points. In fact, in the five games that he's been coming off the bench the four games this week where he's coming off the bench, I think he's 12 of 14 from the floor, like just an outrageous percentage. And you've got Paul George averaging over 30 points a game with this change. Lavoie Allen, we talked about helping out for Serafin, goes ahead and grabs just two boards but 10 points. You know, it could be that some of these changes, these minor changes, are part of the reason things are working.
For sure. Shout out to Rakeem Christmas, who scored a season high 5 points.
Hey,
in garbage time. And also had a sweet block. He came into the game and just blocked the crap out of somebody. The bench went wild. It was awesome.
Quinn Buckner and Chris Denary had to apologize to Joe Young because they were congratulating him on his new baby girl, who was born today, Zoe, and that's right when PG dunked on Capella, and they all are like, lost their minds, and they had to come back and apologize. So shout out to Joe Young and new and baby Zoe. Out.
And Clint Capella, who will probably never see that kid.
I think I have to drop Clint Capella from my fantasy team now.
Yeah, because, it's hard to recover from that, I would think.
Oh, man, you know what, though? Like, all these guys, like, Clint Capella put up a good defensive effort, and Paul George was amazing. So, all these guys who get posterized, you know, at least they were defending. They're doing their job. He was in there. Doing his work.
Did not matter.
No.
What a great week. Feeling great. We've got a fairly home heavy schedule for the going into February. Let's build on some momentum here.
A little bit. This week we go on the road for two games, but then I think it's something like 8 of the next 10 are on the road or at home before we go on a 5-game road swing. So this week, the Pacers play the Orlando Magic on Wednesday, February 1st, and then travel to Brooklyn to take on the Nets. So those are two winnable road games. And then come home, second night of a back-to-back, to host the Detroit Pistons Saturday at the Fieldhouse. And we're going to call that one our game of the week. Because we hate the Pistons, so we're going to focus on that one. But we'll talk about that more on Thursday show, so tune in for that.
Yeah. Well, I was happy with the week. One great team and beat the great team and beat two not as great teams. Lost to a crappy Knicks team, but 3-1. And I'll take a 3-1 week every time.
Sure, sure. And you know what? I mean, yeah, we gave up a bad loss to New York, but we just dominated a very good Houston team. You know, we didn't just eke that one out. We dominated them on our home court. That feels good.
That makes Clutch the Bear very sad, Colson.
Which makes me incredibly happy.
So if I understand this right, if bears are sad, you're happy. But if rabbits are sad, you're sad. Is that what I...
Correct.
Okay.
You know, in fact, there was so much rabbit shout-out at the beginning. I forgot to shout-out Michael Goldberg, who was the head of the coaches union for nearly 4 decades. Died earlier this week. All the coaches across the league are wearing bow ties for the week to honor him because he loved his bow tie. So the NBA lost an important member this week, and that's if you're watching your games and wondering why everybody's wearing bow ties, that's why.
Shout out there, too. Well, until Thursday, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. You can review us on iTunes. Really helps new listeners find our show. You can check out some t-shirts. at a website / store.
For Once and Always Coach, Bobby Slick Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
What style would that be?
I don't know. That wasn't my opera style. I don't know.
I'm not very cultured.
That wasn't your opera style?
No. I think my opera is a little bit bigger. Turn out the lights. You know, it's sort of that thing. Yeah, this was more like springtime happy.
It was like light opera?
Light opera.
Okay.
Opera Light, which is name of a band in high school.
It's a horrible band name.
Yeah.
Well, we were only opera light. We weren't real opera, so that was the issue.
Gotcha. What type of music do you guys play?
Ska.
Okay.
I guess I've always considered ska to be like opera light.
Sure. I'm sure ska band members feel the same.
So, you know, the Toasters came into town not too long ago. They played at the, it's the one on Meridian. Got punk rock night.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 38th and what's the?
Melody?
Melody Inn. Melody that's Inn. The one.
Yep.
Thank you, the gentleman from D.C. I had something else going on that night. I couldn't go.
Right there.
That's true. And I'm looking at our Slack channel for the band names. Some good ones in here. Cheese Ball and Chain. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Meat Dreams. And this was Jason. This was, I like this. The OJ Mayo Experience. Let Me Be Frank.
Let Me Be Frank.
That was Charlie.
That's a good one.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.